Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm your host, Ruth Amos. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. In this podcast, I chat to all sorts of normal Christians, asking them just how they live their quiet lives and how they integrate their faith into their daily lives. I hope that by listening, you will be encouraged to go out and live your own quiet life to the glory of God. You can find the episode show notes, the Quiet Life blog, and other resources at ruthamos.com.au. That's ruthamos.com.au. Now let's get on with the show. Hello, I'm Ruth. It's great to be with you today. This is episode 58 of A Quiet Life, and as I record this, it is Wednesday the 18th of March. And interesting times. Hey, yesterday, the Bishop of the Diocese of Tasmania, where I live, the Anglican Church, which I attend, advised that we limit our meetings to less than 10 people. So this means instead of church, we're looking for other ways to fellowship. It's a bit of a shock to the system. I think Sunday is going to be sad, really. But I also think it's a great challenge to the church at this time to really think about what is our faith, what does it mean to have fellowship. You know, we thinking that, like, small groups, excellent, get together in small groups and just being sensible, but remembering who we are and remembering that God doesn't actually depend on having other people with us. He's with us all the time and all that kind of thing. Anyway, I've gone off script, which I do. But the thing is, we need to find other ways to fellowship. We can't just depend on church each week. And I'm hoping that this podcast can be one of the ways that we fellowship together. So I've always wanted this to be one of those podcasts where you get to know me and we feel like friends. It's a weird friendship. Okay, so I'm an introvert. I adopt these weird friendships. I have a very good friend named Sophia, and we really only talk by email. I have another friend, Amber. We talk by Facebook Messenger, and this is another way that I talk to you and be a friend, and it can still be a friendship. And so, yeah, in this intro bit, I let you know about my life, and I'd love it if you let me know about yours by sending me a Facebook message or an email. Or any other way that you want to get in touch with me, a tweet. So that's one thing. And another thing is, this is a good news podcast. We now have 58 episodes, and 4 of them are chapters from my book, My Year of Saying No, which is this one as well. But the other 54 are interviews with various people, and they're all good news stories. They're all stories of God's faithfulness. They're all stories of people who've made it through hard times. And so I think that this podcast, like, I don't want to blow my own trumpet at all, but this could be a place where you can go for cheering up and for not hearing anything about the virus, but actually hearing good news stories. All the backlist is up on my website on ruthamos.com.au. Despite me getting a 404 not found this morning, it's back up now. So they're all there, and you can go back through and just be, I hope, encouraged and strengthened by these stories of God's faithfulness, these things that people have shared about how God's come through for them. So I hope that this podcast is helpful to you for fellowship. I hope it's helpful for stories, and I hope that if you're finding it helpful, maybe you can, if you think of somebody else who needs cheering up or who needs comfort or company, then maybe you can drop them a line and say, have you thought about listening to this podcast? Because this could be one of the ways to help them. I know that we're also dependent on the internet right now, but the internet is wonderful. And, you know, if this can be a help to someone, I would really love that. Just love it. So, feel free to write me at ruth@ruthamos.com.au or to leave a message for me at Ruth Amos Author on Facebook or to tweet me at A Quiet Life Blog on Twitter. And I will definitely reply. Look, I'm not big cheese at the moment. I am small cheese, and I reply to everyone who gets in touch, and you will hear from me personally if that means something to you. I will reply to you. And yes, after saying I'll let you know all about my life, all I really have to say about my life is that the plans I spent last week making are all in disarray now. So I like plans. I like to know where life is going, and this year is really challenging me. Things are changing week to week and day to day. So I spent last weekend with friends talking about a writing retreat that I want to run in May. And guess what? We had a lovely conversation and we planned out the most beautiful writing retreat that you've ever heard of. And we're not going to be holding it in May. I can't see that. I don't know when we'll be holding it. We'll just wait and see what happens. But I would much prefer life to be planned. I would really like to know what's happening next week or what's happening 5 years from now. But, you know, that's not the way we're living right now. Now we're living day to day, in the moment, depending on God all the way. So in my morning Bible readings, listening to the Psalms, that's very helpful. There are some poets, some psalmists that are just saying exactly what I'm feeling right now. And we continue to hold on to God because what else do we have? He knows the future. And look, we've done this before. I'm also encouraged by thinking about how Christians came through the plague, the bubonic plague, whenever that was, and how they helped out their community and how they showed Christ to the people around them. And I think that's our challenge at the moment too. But also we are challenged to support each other. So if you want to let me know how I can support you right now, that would be fantastic. So yeah, so that's life right now, life in interesting times. And what I have for you is a couple of chapters from my year of saying no today. One about saying should or not saying should, and the other one talking about how everything we want to do is worthwhile. And I think we're actually, a lot of us getting an enforced rest, things getting cancelled and left, right and centre. Maybe that's a good time for us to sit and meditate and think quietly about things or spend time with our families or whatever is available for us. So I hope you enjoy these couple of chapters. I will chat to you at the end. March. There was another time in my life when I felt trapped in a job I wasn't coping with. My get out of jail free card then was to have a baby. I took maternity leave and didn't go back. But while I loved and still love my kids, the stay-at-home mum lifestyle was also difficult for an introvert like me, leaving me gasping for time alone. I realised in March that I am looking at writing as another such get out of jail free card, and that, like the baby situation, writing novels is not an easy option. I need things to change, but the change cannot come without thought and care. Writing is not my saviour. I need to work out what I need in terms of type of work, time alone, budget, and all the issues, and then concoct a plan to get there. I start to wonder about building an online business. Is there any way that I can get work-life balance? I feel like I should use all my alone time to work on my writing and get my novel finished and my new life underway. And then I realise that the word should is a bad one. Definitely not to be used on something as gorgeous as writing, and not to be used for a hobby. I don't want to turn the writing into a drudgery. Chapter 4. Should. I really should. I don't want to, but I should. The way it works for me is this. I really want to sit down and do some writing, but before I do, I should wash the dishes and put a load of washing on, and I really should ring that person, pay those bills, organise that drawer. By the time I get through my shoulds, I have no energy to write and no idea what it was that I wanted to write about. You'll notice that the list of shoulds is full of worthy and worthwhile activities. They are all good things to do. You don't usually think, I should lie on the couch all afternoon and watch movies. That's a whole different type of procrastination. No, the shoulds are all good things that really should be done. When I was trying to do everything just because I should, I was trying to do too much. I had things on my list that were not suited to me and that didn't fit into my schedule. It was too hard. I had an escape when things were too hard. I have used it since my childhood. When I couldn't cope with my list of things to do, when life became overwhelming, when it was all too much, I would get sick. I wouldn't fake being sick. I wasn't trying to please anyone except the internal taskmaster in my head. No, I would actually become sick. temperature, sore throat, runny nose, swollen glands, I need to stay in bed for a couple of days, I'm sick, kind of sick. Let me tell you, this is not a good strategy. It's bad for your body, for starters. It's a bit like jumping out of a 10th-story window just to get away from the jobs on your desk. And what if things become overwhelming because you are at the start of an exciting project, something you really want to do? You shoot yourself in the foot over and over again. I realised in my 20s that this strategy wasn't wise, and my way of coping had to change. Actually, I was being interviewed for a volunteer position at church, and a wise elder asked me, "What do you do when the wheels really fall off?" That's when I realised what my strategy was. I replied, "That's easy, I get sick." And she told me, in no uncertain terms, that getting sick wasn't a reasonable strategy. I needed to find another one. I guess that was the start of my learning to say no journey. I used the word should as a catch-all, and it was derailing all the important but non-urgent things that I really wanted to do. In the end, my husband Moz gave me a way to work around it. Should became a bad word, a word that I was no longer allowed to use. I had to think about a replacement word. I had to think about why I was stressing about the task, why it had got onto the should list in the first place, what it was that I actually thought about the task. I should do the washing up first might turn into, if I get the washing up done, my house will look cleaner and I'll be able to concentrate better. I should ring that person might become, I'm feeling guilty that I haven't contacted that person in ages. The first task would stay on the to-do list. The second would move towards the bottom of the list. Sometimes I would find, when I really got down to it, that the task was only on the list because I was afraid my pride would be hurt if someone worked out that I wasn't doing it. That's not a good enough reason to do anything. If the reason is, I should give money to that charity because my friend who is on the board would not like me if I didn't, or I have to go to that concert because everyone else is going, that task needs to leave the list immediately. I have found that the simple strategy of replacing the word should with another word or phrase has helped me to keep my to-do list shorter and reduce the stress in my life. Maybe you can try it. Chapter 5. Everything is worthwhile. Some things are really easy to say no to. For example, I have no desire to run a marathon, and despite how wonderful my running friends say that running is, I just don't enjoy it. I love a good brisk walk in the evening, but that's about as far as it goes. So I am not in any way tempted to say yes to fun runs, boot camps, even yoga retreats. It's very easy for me to say no to those. I used to feel very bad about saying no to party plans. You know, those sales parties for makeup or lingerie or linen or Tupperware or cleaning products, or the list goes on and on. My good friends would ring me or send me a message telling me about this wonderful new product that they were having a party for. Actually, that's not strictly true. More often they would ring or send a message to tell me that they really didn't care about the sales, they just needed bums on seats, and they were going to provide yummy food, and in some cases alcohol, and we could listen to the little sales spiel and then spend the rest of the time enjoying ourselves and just hanging out, and please could I come? I would be torn. I was glad that the person thought of me, and I really understood the terror of booking a party plan party and having no one show up. And I wanted to be their friend and be there for them. And sometimes I even believed in the philosophy of the product that they were selling. But I really didn't want to go. In the end, I decided that these parties were not the best use of my time. I didn't have the money to spend on them, and I didn't and don't need more stuff, especially stuff that I had to be talked into buying. And as much as I loved my friends and was flattered by them thinking of me, there was never time just to chat and hang out at these parties. Or at least never time to get into the deep conversations that I like to have, only time for small talk, which I personally find exhausting. So I am happy for others to have party plan parties, but whenever I am asked now, the answer is always no, and it doesn't hurt me much to say it. However, some things are much harder to say no to. This year, I found that I had to say no to a part-time job. The job involved working after hours as a tutor in a small business that tutors primary and high school students in literacy and maths. It's an excellent business. The tutors do excellent work, and it's something I totally, wholeheartedly believe in. There is also a huge need for tutors. There is always a waiting list for the business, and tutoring is something I can do. I know enough maths and science to tutor people through high school and beyond, and I could probably do high school English at a pinch. but it was not the right thing for me to be doing. Each week as the time came for me to begin tutoring, or as emails relating to the job came into my inbox, or as I would think about the next staff meeting, my gut would knot up, my stress levels would rise. But when I thought about saying no, about quitting, I couldn't justify it. This job was only a very part-time job. I had made a commitment to keep tutoring until the end of the year, and I keep my commitments. I couldn't think of any good reason to turn the work down, except that I wanted more time for writing, more time to do the thing I knew was my thing, and that keeping on going felt all wrong. In the end, after much conversation, my boss made it easy for me and arranged things so I could bow out gracefully. I'm very grateful to her, and I'm sure it was the right thing to do, but it wasn't easy. The job was such a worthy cause. The work was worthwhile. There is no shortage of worthwhile things to do, worthy causes to give time to. But somehow we need to weed them out, because we cannot do everything. We just can't. Oz Guinness, in his book The Call, expresses this wonderfully. In the modern world, there are simply too many choices. Too many people to relate to, too much to do, too much to see, too much to read, too much to catch up with and follow, too much to buy. Each choice sprouts with its own questions. Might we? Could we? Should we? Will we? Won't we? What if we had? What if we hadn't? The forest of questions leads deeper and deeper into the dark freedom, then to the ever darker anxiety of seemingly infinite possibility. At some point, different to us all, a cut-off switch kicks in. We are overloaded, saturated. There is too much to do and too little time to do it. But life goes on. Neither planning nor juggling can span the gap. But life goes on. At the level of our relationships alone, their sheer number, variety, and intensity becomes impossible. But life goes on. One minute we feel the vertigo of unlimited possibility, and the next the frustration of superficiality. But life goes on. I'm going to explore this idea a bit more in the next few chapters. For now, I want to encourage you to listen to your gut. Maybe it's time to say goodbye to a worthy activity that is just not right for you right now. Maybe you've looked at your schedule, your activities, and you've prioritised your ping pong balls, and there are very worthy things that don't fit in your jar. If that is the case, you don't need to do it all. If you need someone's permission to drop that worthy thing, I give you permission. It's okay to say no. It might be time to have that hard conversation with someone so that your life is simplified and you are more able to do the things on top of your list. My experience is that it is worth it. Hard, yes, but worth it. Again, a beautiful quote from Oz Guinness. Yet, as we make our contribution along the line of our gifts and callings, and others do the same, there is both a fruitfulness and a rest in the outcome. Our gifts are used for the purpose for which they were given us. And we can rest in doing what we can without ever pretending we are more than the little people we plainly are. I guess that now we're all learning what's essential to do and what can actually be removed from our schedule and our to-do list. May God give you wisdom as you make these decisions over the next weeks and months. Next week we have an interview with Natasha Moore from the Centre for Public Christianity. CPX produces another excellent podcast that I listen to regularly, and I'll put links to that in the show notes. So that's another good news podcast you can listen to. Special thanks to Catherine Joy from Joy Music House for the music for this podcast, and I will chat to you again next week.